So in today's recording, we had a little bit of trouble with some audio. So in the middle of the news section, there's a couple of stories where I sound very crackly. We got it corrected a little bit later, no problem. So I think the show is still worth it. So on with the show.
Thanks for joining us on Podcast Insider. I'm Mackenzie Bennett, filling in for Todd Cochran, and Mike Dell is joining me in Michigan. We have an episode full of podcasting news, some blueberry news, a best practice for podcasting, and a question and answer section, as always, and a blueberry pro tip. Yeah. How are you, Mike?
Good, but my pro tip just right now would be don't install beta software on something that you're... Anyway, this is take two, but that's all right. The intro is better that time, so good.
I know. I thought it was better, so we're doing all right.
So, anywho, yeah, like I said, we got our regular news and all that good stuff. Todd's out camping, which people should do on a periodic basis just to get away and unwind, so... Although I did see
it and touch some grass. That's what I like to tell people.
Yeah, although I did see an email this morning from him, so he's not totally turned off, but hopefully he'll get there.
A little bit.
Yeah, so... let's get on with some news. This first article we got here is IAB Tech Lab releases a document about podcast privacy challenges. And the upshot of it is in podcasting, you know, with stats and whatnot, you know, advertisers and podcasters really want more and more and more information. And at some point, it gets to the point where podcast listeners aren't really opting into this. Now, that isn't true on all platforms. You know, when you listen on Spotify, you agree to Spotify's terms, which means they can track you. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that. But, you know, not all podcast apps do that. And not all podcasts out there do that either. You know, so, you know, if you're publishing with Blueberry, at this point there's no crazy tracking, and we anonymize the IP addresses and all that good stuff.
Right.
And of course IAB, it's the Interactive Advertising Bureau, and their tech lab is what certifies podcast listening stats, you know, for companies. We were the first podcast hosting company to have IAB certification. So, and you know, of course our former CIO is very involved in setting those standards, and you know, so I don't know. I haven't had a chance to read the thing. It's a bit on the technical dry side, and you'd think I'd be interested in that, but you know, sometimes it just doesn't. I haven't had the time, I guess, is what the deal is. So
I would say the article is a tad dry, and it's not just this article. It would be basically any article on the topic. However, it's really just coming out to say that, yes, this is how things have been done, but as things move forward and technology and data analytics, but also privacy at the same time, that we're going to have to come to a good compromise here of...
Right.
Yeah. Of what people are knowingly saying, yes, you can track this information. Because personally, I'm someone who just assumes that everything I'm doing is being tracked. While I might not like it, I understand it and just go on with my life.
Right. Yeah.
But some people don't always want to do that.
Yeah. One of the big reasons this came up at all was Apple has a service, I forget what they call it, but it's like a premium version of Apple Podcasts and every, you know, and all their other. But this service that Apple has come out with basically allows you to block your IP information. So what that does as far as for podcast stats is wherever Apple's proxy server is for this thing. It's kind of like a, what do you call those? VPN. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then all of a sudden everybody's coming from Boston, or everybody's coming from Cupertino, or whatever, and you get none of that geo traffic, geo data, and that would be bad for podcast analytics and tracking.
So advertisers would lose their minds.
Yeah, so you know, we got to be careful. As concerned podcasters, that's what they're trying to. That's what they're telling everybody to tag any comments about this as a concerned podcaster. So, anyway, all these technical glitches. We're on to the next story.
Okay.
All right.
This one is this is coming from Acast. They bought Podchaser for a whopping $34 million. That number truly surprised me. I don't know if I've just been behind the times paying attention to Podchaser, but I was not expecting that.
Yeah, Podchaser basically is kind of the IMDb of podcasting. And I don't believe Podchaser really had any revenue to speak of. So this play by Acast is a little strange in the fact that, you know, what are they going to get out of it? And I think what it is they're going to get some personal information about all the podcasts out there. You know, not personal information, but...
It calculates, you know, Podchaser is a accumulation of ratings and reviews and playlists, and it's really an interactive... home for people that like for listeners and creators. So there is a lot of personal data in there that they can get, and I think I just did not pay attention to how much they have expanded. So congratulations to them. Yeah. And Acast is the they're a hosting and publishing company, but they've had a lot going on. They have quite a few big network shows, so.
Yeah,
I mean they have the money to buy this,
right? And you know, whatever they do with it, I mean, I hope Podchaser stays what it was, because it is handy. You know, you can go look up and see, you know, somebody that you know, somebody that you want to, you know, see, listen to, you know, see if they've been a guest on, you know, which podcasts and things like that. So It's a pretty slick service. I just don't know if it's worth $34 million. But that's...
You never know. Both of them, Acast and Podchaser, might have something up their sleeves that we just will find out at a later date.
Yep, that's for sure. Here's an interesting one. Live X Live, I guess it was, that bought Podcast One. I don't know, probably a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they're going to spin it back out as its own thing again. They just got like $8 million in funding, and they want to spin out Podcast One again as its own company. So it's kind of strange that they did it that quickly, but apparently there's a reason for it.
I forgot that they were bought in the first place, so when I first read this, my mind just had to take a second and reread the entire headline.
Right.
I don't understand what's happening.
Right, and Live X Live changed their name to Live One recently,
yeah,
too. So
that really threw me off as well.
Yeah, because, you know, it was Norm Pattis from, Westwood One Radio, who started... you know, Podcast One way back. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he had some controversial things going on.
Yeah, I don't really feel the need to talk about him ever again.
Right. Famously, he got in an argument with Dave Jackson at one of the podcast events. That was fun. Anyway. And next on our list here is James Cridlin from Pod News is revealing the podcast industry's biggest spammers. He did a test where he had a podcast feed that had different email addresses for different places or something. I don't know how he did it exactly, but it turns out he has quite the list of the biggest spammers. And surprising to me, it wasn't Acast, because they've been known to try to poach people away from, you know, if you're a Blueberry hosting customer, you likely got an email from them at some point saying move from Blueberry to Acast, and you know that's just bad business. We don't do that kind of thing. I mean, we encourage you to move from wherever you're at to Blueberry, but we're not going to spam you to do it.
Yeah, so, that's all.
But the top one, which one was it? It's in the list here somewhere. Podvine, that was the one. And
which I had never heard of until this list yesterday.
Yeah, I think I got one email from, but I'm so quick at triaging my email. I just, poof, poof, I don't even.
Honestly, same. Yeah. If I do not remember the name and can figure out immediately how I'm getting this email, I just delete it.
Right. But what's funny is James today on Pod News said that Podvine quietly dropped support for Pod News. So yeah. I guess that makes sense. A lot of these other ones on the list all of a sudden now have unsubscribe links in their emails. So
yeah, he has updated the article. It says Podvine, within 12 hours of publication, Podvine added an unsubscribe facility to their emails, but it says that the biggest spammer is actually Backtrax.
Oh, Backtrax. There we go. That's the one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I read it wrong. But anyway, so that's, if you're interested in that list, I mean, I'm sure you get some of those yourself. So if you're a podcaster. Mm-hmm. All right. And the last story here is there's 5 radio produce podcasts that are up for an NAB Marconi Award, which is a pretty big deal in radio. But and a lot of these have kind of the same genre. American Nightmare Season 2, Behind the Song, well, I guess that's not, Bloomberg Business Week, Cold Season 2, and Gone Cold. So the 3 of the 5 are a real crime. So, but
God, we need help in America here.
Yeah, well, you know, those are pretty popular, of course.
Yeah, I know they're very popular. And then Bloomberg is, you can take a guess, that's just business stuff. Behind the Song, that sounds fun. I like hearing about anything to do with the history of music. And then, yeah, the Cold Season is just news talk. So,
yeah. Okay, very good. Well, that's the news. Let's, and sorry, we're a little disheveled today because
is our third attempt.
Third or fourth.
It might be fourth.
But it's having a little technical glitches with a new computer and new hardware here. So we'll get it all worked out by the next one, I hope.
I hope so.
So the best practice, you came up with this one, so I'll let you go.
Okay, so data-driven decisions. So this essentially means looking at the actual data that you have concerning your podcast, such as the podcast statistics that Blueberry or your own podcast host provide you. So a lot of podcasting is just, especially when you start out, is going off of intuition, of estimations, your best guess, your own little personal hypothesis about how you think it's going to go. But once you start actually getting content and releasing and, you know, getting a little bit, some feedback, some results, that's when you're able to really go analyze the data thoroughly and come to conclusions of how to move forward based on those numbers. So we're saying, like, look at the ones that seem look at the episodes that seem very successful. Check out the title. Did you do something different than you normally do? Did you have a specific guest on that people really, really enjoyed? Did you have it be shorter? Did you have it be longer?
Right.
Look at the data, come to the conclusions, and then figure out what you want to do to move forward.
Yeah, and look at your retention data if you're using Blueberry Stats and are hosting with us.
That we have a lot of really good data. We have the impactful play information. We have the retention graph. It's all this type of stuff that you're able to use.
Yeah, the nice thing about the retention graph is you can tell how long people have listened into the episode. So if you're doing something at three quarters of, you know, towards the end of the episode that caused people to drop off, look at what that might be. You know, because you don't want them dropping off.
No.
You know, you're making a podcast. You want them to listen all the way to the end, you know. But this could, you know, help you tweak your format. And don't go through and change the entire thing, you know, make it a completely different show just because of stats. You also
can't analyze that.
Yeah. So, you know, change one thing and then see how it performs. Or change mm-hmm. two things, maybe. You know, that kind of thing. But, you know, don't go off the rails completely changing stuff. And if you follow this, you know, the stats, or, you know, you get one person that complains about something, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be doing it.
Absolutely.
You know, some, you know, there's going to be...
At the end of the day, it's your show.
Yeah. Do what you want to do. But, you know, use that information to maybe tweak things. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, you know, what we do here. You know, every once in a while we add or subtract a section or whatever. And I know with ours, you know, I can look at the retention graph, and about 3 minutes before the episode ends, all of a sudden you all drop off. That's because we say the exact same thing in the mm-hmm. outro, so we're predictable.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. We're totally okay with that.
Right, but we know that because of the data.
Yes.
So, but like I said, you know, people that are new, they'll listen through, and once you got that info, it's good to go. Blueberry stuff. We got a blog post from Tara that is called "Show Me the Monetization." And she
has a lot of good points on there of how you can help monetize your show in different ways and not just relying on one specific way. Or, you know, maybe there's something on that list that you just haven't tried yet and you want to go full in, only try that for a minute. So yeah.
Give it a big, read. Big takeaway, there's more than just ads.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, not everybody wants to listen to ads, you know, or, you know, especially if you're not doing ads now and then you start doing ads, that will usually cause a drop in audience. It's just the way it is.
I mean, if someone is going to start introducing ads like that into their show, I think you also need to perhaps adjust a little bit and prepare for it ahead of time and know that that might happen, as opposed to, you know, adding programmatic advertising or the live reads or whatever it is and having people immediately get mad at you. Like maybe cut off the intro a little bit, maybe shorten it up a little bit so that they're not.
Yeah, so not sitting through a bunch of stuff before your show. But, you know, then again, you know, warn your audience too. Say, hey, you know, I've got an advertiser coming on in a couple of episodes here. I hope it's, you know, whatever. You just let them know.
Yeah.
You know, just be upfront with them. Say, hey, I need a little money to pay for hosting, you know, or whatever.
So. Yeah, people don't hate people for, like, people understand for the most part. I try to have hope that people are polite and understanding that advertising makes a lot of podcasts go round.
Yep, that is for sure. Somebody's got to pay for all this stuff, right?
Yep, yep. So,
and of course, you and Aaron mainly right now are preparing for podcast movement as far as getting all the swag and whatnot going.
Yes, we are. Aaron, our graphic designer, is also in Columbus here with me, and the two of us have kind of just been hunkered down for a little bit, focusing on event stuff, and we're preparing and getting excited to see everyone in Dallas again. Yeah. Mike, I'll see you.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We're bringing Todd, you know, the normal crew, Todd, you and me, and then also bringing Cho, our new social media manager. I don't know. What's her title?
I don't know.
Social media marketing something. Anyway,
it's a mouthful. Let's go with that.
Right. But so if you get on social,
you'll take her.
Yeah. If you get on social, she's usually the one you're interacting with, although the rest of us jump in there once in a while, too. So.
Yeah.
And, that's right. Is it next? No, a week after next, we're doing a company gathering. So we're going to have everybody involved in Raw Voice and Blueberry in one spot, with the exception of Sean out in California. But
yeah, we're excited to get everyone together.
I think that's the first time that's happened in a long time, and should be good to put that office to use.
Yeah, we're gonna have people come to the Columbus office for a couple days. But really, like, we're excited about this, but we also have big plans to talk about many things Blueberry. What do we like? What don't we like about what we're doing? What do you guys want us to be doing? Like, if you have anything,
a new product,
like a big feature or tool or something that you want, or like, say, I hate this, let us know. We're going to get together in about 2 weeks, so.
Yep, and also know that that may slow down support requests a little bit. Because Dave and I will both be attending, and I think that Tuesday we'll all be traveling. I get to ride with Barry. That'll be fun.
All right.
He's our CFO and corporate lawyer, so he's been on the show before.
Yeah,
I'm going down. He's renting a car, and I'm just driving down, parking in his driveway. So that'll work. So it's been, 2+ years since I've been to Columbus. So.
I mean, the world had a moment there. So
yeah,
we're happy to be doing this now.
All right. Well, barring any technical difficulties, I'm going to bring you the Blueberry Pro Tip from Toby. And, of course, there's a technical glitch. All right, here we go.
Hi, it's Toby Goodman here. Today, the crucial and not-so-crucial elements of a podcast that actually gets listened to. But first, some context. Since its inception, podcasting has grown exponentially. And with it, we've seen trends come and go. Video is one of the most regular themes of discussion our production team have with podcasting newbies. In fact, some would-be podcasters still feel as if audio-only podcasts play second fiddle to video content, and those people are missing the point. Of course, while video is nice to have and definitely a great tool when recording your podcast with a guest, please don't let not having it prevent you from starting your podcast. If you can make it happen, great. But remember, podcasts continue to be primarily audio-based media. With video, you are asking a listener for more. And a video-based podcast has a high likelihood of not being watched because a potential listener's screen time priority will often be taken up with work, emails, social media scrolling, and watching Netflix. From the commute to the gym session, with audio only, you are able to get to your listeners where other media can't. So despite all the advances in the podcast landscape, the crucial elements of a podcast remain simple. Number one, consistently produced high-quality content backed up by SEO-based show notes. Number two, high-quality audio. Bad sound is exhausting to listen to. And number three, solid hosting that reliably publishes everywhere podcasts are available, including on your own website, and ensures you own what you're publishing. Whether you're finally looking to start or you have a podcast you'd like to upgrade, the Pro Team is standing by to support you to achieve and maintain your crucial elements of podcast production. So come and say hi over at blueberrypro.com.
And thanks, Toby, for that. Even though they're on vacation, he pre-recorded a couple of those, so pretty cool. I agree. Sometimes people get a little wrapped around the axle about, as Todd would say, about things that aren't as critical or crucial to a podcast. And, you know, and I always say audio first. That's just me, you know, but there's a lot of people out there that do video first. And there's nothing wrong with video. We do video on this show most of the time when Todd's around and, you know, do live streaming on Facebook and YouTube and I don't know where else. I think just Facebook and YouTube, but might be Twitter too. I don't know. But that isn't the primary purpose of our podcast is, you know, it's audio. You know, you can be driving down the road listening to this. You can be out mowing the lawn, washing dishes, whatever you're doing. It doesn't interfere with, you know, what you're doing. You know, the podcast itself and audio doesn't really interfere in with what you're doing.
With actual content.
Yeah. So that just makes it easier to consume, in my humble opinion. I listen to a lot of audio. I also watch a lot of YouTube, so, you know, but they're completely different things in my world. I don't watch podcasts on YouTube usually. You know, it's mostly people that are just YouTube creators and things like that. So, you know, it's.
I'm never going to watch a podcast.
Yeah.
It's not in my nature. It's just not my personality. So I think when you're considering these things, consider two elements of. Does my audience actually want this or am I just panicking and trying to be everywhere and do it all? And am I spreading myself too thin? Like if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to add something like video or something else, am I going to start to have a decline in quality of content because I'm just trying to multitask? Your brain can only do so many things at once. And we tend to go over it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I used to start podcasts all the time and then never follow through on them, you know. Like I said, I'm the king of inconsistency. It's hard enough to do one show, you know. We've been doing this one now for 304 episodes without a break every week. And that's something I never have done in my personal podcasting journey. But maybe I should.
I mean, if chaos is like your... If that's your thing in life, then go ahead and go do all of it.
Sure.
But if you're trying to cultivate a great following and, you know, settle down a little bit into it, then maybe not.
Right, right. So, anywho, on to the question of the week. I say anywho too many times, I just realized.
Well, you are in the editing seat today, so you can keep as many of those as you would like.
There you go. Question of the week came from Dave on our support team. He's got this question three times this week already.
Boy.
Yeah. It's, what happens if I change the file names on my published episodes? And the answer is really not much. A few things. Nothing terrible. But that brings up another question. Why are you changing the file name of a published episode?
You read my mind. I was like, why are people doing this?
Yeah, you know, people like to keep a consistent naming convention, and I guess that makes sense. But, you know, when we've done that with this show and when I've done that with other shows that I've been involved in, I just change it going forward and don't bother with the back episodes. But you can. So basically, the first thing is you're going to have to re-upload it and relink it in your post. You can't change the file name live on the internet. So you basically have to rename the file, then re-upload it, and then make sure that you've got it linked back to the post. As far as the apps and the directories, they're just going to start playing the new file just as they played the old one. It's you know, it's no hassle to them. At all.
Beauty of an RSS feed.
Right. So they just, you know, every time somebody hits play, they're checking that RSS feed or they've already downloaded the file. So the file's already on their device. Doesn't matter what the name is, but it'll be there. And the last thing is there'll be, you know, at least in our case at Blueberry, you'll have a new entry in your stats for that new file name because our stats currently are based on file name only. And that... you know, that just, you know, it's a new file to the system. So that's what it's going to do. So you'll have the old file name with X number of downloads. You'll have the new file name with however many more downloads. And of course, you shouldn't get any more downloads on that old file name unless you left it online and people have links to it. But anyway, that's the gist of it.
Pretty simple.
Right. So if you got a question you'd like us to answer on the show, you can drop an email to me, mike@blueberry.com. Send audio, text, or video, and we may use it. You can also post a question on the Blueberry Podcasting Facebook group. I pull from there sometimes and use them on the show.
Mm-hmm. And a reminder, the best place for support with any Blueberry product or service is our online ticket system. It's just blueberry.com/support. You'll be able to log in or send it to us without that. Sending a ticket gives the whole team access rather than direct emails or phone calls. Please don't email Mike and I and Dave, or if you have a personal email address, you really got to utilize that well.
Yeah. Well, the thing with the personal email is I may be on vacation. Dave may be on vacation. In fact, Dave's going to be out tomorrow. And, you know, if you email him, it's going to be Monday before he responds to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put it in the ticket system, then Sean or I or even McKenzie or Todd or somebody will answer you, usually pretty quickly. So
it's a much better system.
Yeah. So we're coming to you this week from the Blueberry HQ in Columbus, Ohio, where McKenzie's at. And then, of course, here at Mike Dell's World Studio in Traverse City, Michigan. And normally produced by the Blueberry Pro production team, but today I get to glue this mess together.
Yeah. For once, it is Mike Dell's studio that is causing problems and not the Columbus one.
Exactly.
So you guys have probably heard we have out a new listener survey for podcast audiences to fill out. We would love it if you took our survey for the show. It's surveys.blueberry.com/podcastinsider. And of course, we'll be included in the show notes.
Yep. And you can schedule a one-on-one with Todd, hosting customers only. You can email todd@blueberry.com.
This means you can also schedule a tech checkup or something along those lines with Mike. This is for hosting customers only, please. And you can email him at mike@blueberry.com.
Yeah, and I just got one of those today, so I'll be doing that later this week. And, of course, you can send us a podcast sticker and a self-addressed stamped envelope or just your address, whatever, and we'll send you a Blueberry care package. Actually, McKenzie will do that. So
I will do that. And I actually came to the office yesterday and found mail for requesting one of those. So it will be in the mail soon, Kurt. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Of course, the address is in the show notes at podcastinsider.com. Well, we made it through. Took a lot longer than we expected due to some technical glitches. And I'm reasonably sure it was the computer's fault and not the Rodecaster.
I mean, definitely blame the technology and not yourself.
Yeah, that was, of course.
Yes, always the answer.
Anyway, we'll catch you next week. I think Todd's back next week. I'm not sure. The following week, we'll probably have an in-studio show with more than just the bunch of us. So that might be
fun.
And
some technical glitches there too, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll try. I'll be bringing the other Rodecaster down there, so that one I know works.
Oh, that's great.
All right. Talk to you next time.